الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال تعالى في مقام آخر: ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم، إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من أيام العمل الصالح أحب إلى الله تعالى من هذه الأيام، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To begin with, I greet you with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with iman and made us from the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us once again with this wonderful day of Jumu'ah. Also, let us remember the date, the first of Dhul Hijjah. We are in those days regarding which Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that ma min ayyamin al-amalu salih ahabu ilallahi ta'ala min hadhihi al-ayyam. There are no days in the entire year wherein good deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than in these 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Any good deed we do at any time of the year is appreciated and loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but any deed done in these days is more appreciated and more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time and time again throughout the year, Allah gives us certain occasions, Allah gives us certain days where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends His hand of mercy more closer to us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on a daily basis, I appreciate your ibadah, I am blessing you with my ni'mats. But there are certain days where I give you the opportunity where whatever you do, it holds much more value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah gives us that opportunity to get closer to Him. We'll do what we normally do, but it's more appreciated and it holds more weight in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple example, we know the month of Ramadan, any deed we do is multiplied so much more in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, the odd nights, the night of Laylatul Qadr. Now we have the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. These are all occasions and times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives insan for him to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Intelligent is that man who makes value of this extended hand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to insan, and wise is that man who makes the best of these opportunities, and foolish is that man who loses these wonderful opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. On a daily basis, we perform our salah in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every man on a daily basis, he has his set routine. There are certain things that he does, there are certain good deeds that he carries out. This is how a Muslim should lead his life. But on days like these, what you normally do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more for. And just a little bit more, so simple example, if for example you take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name on a daily basis 100 times, so you do it in these days, but you just add one or two more. There's so much more weight and so much more value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attaches to just that little more that insan does on these days. Because Allah says that there's no days in which Allah loves good deeds more than in these days. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to make use of this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And more so, it's like a double bonus, especially today, because it is the first of Dhul Hijjah, and at the same time it is the day of Jumu'ah. So it's like 2 days in one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Let us value these opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Let us make the best use of this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. And especially today being a Friday, let us try and come to the masjid a bit early before the Maghrib Adhan and engage ourselves in some dua and in some form of ibadah, because really it is very valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is something that can be of tremendous benefit to each one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. At the same time, in approximately 10 days time, we will have the wonderful day of Eid al-Adha. So here again we are reminded of the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when the sahaba radiyallahu anhum asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam that what is this udhiyah, what is this sacrifice all about? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim, this is the sunnah of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, there is the sahaba radiyallahu anhum then asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam that fair enough, this is a sunnah of our father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, but وَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what is our gain, what do we get out of this qurbani? And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that for every hair on the body of that animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants an individual one reward and one thawab. Now this is something which is very common, every one of us know it, but have we ever thought and sat back for 1 second and pondered over this fact that what a tremendous ni'mah this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that is so light on the tongue where we say for every hair on the body of that animal there's one reward. Can we ever quantify how much of hair is on the body of these animals that we slaughter? When they asked regarding the wool, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that for every fiber of wool, Allah grants you one reward. It's absolutely impossible for any person or any individual, even in this age of technology, for us to get a count of the amount of wool or the amount of hair that is on the body of these animals. It's impossible. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, for that little money that you spend, especially now with the price and inflation hitting everywhere, so that 1,500 rand or that over 1,000 rand that you're spending on that animal, can you imagine what an investment you are making in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For that money that you're spending, you're getting something which cannot be counted, it cannot be fathomed. You can't imagine how much of reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Leave the whole body of that animal, let's take one limb, take the leg, take the head, take any part of that animal and try and count the hair. It's impossible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give you what you can't count for that little bit of sacrifice that you're making, for that little amount of money that you are spending. Really, this is such a wonderful and great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's extreme mercy on behalf of insan. That so generous is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if someone tells you that for your little investment, I'll give you something that you can't count. Your return will be uncountable. There's no way that you can put a count or you can quantify the return that you're getting. This can only be done by the most generous, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also let us not forget, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that this animal will come on the day of Qiyamah, just as you had purchased it in the world, it will come with its body, it will come with its meat, it will come with its blood, it will come with its hair, with its hooves, and everything will be put in your pan of good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. So if for the last 20 years you are doing Qurbani and 20 animals you sacrificed for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so just think for 1 second on the day of Qiyamah, how valuable these investments will be in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when all these animals are brought and put on your plan of good deeds. Think for 1 second, when it comes to the sirat, the bridge over Jahannam, which every person will have to cross, when you're standing on that bridge, then these animals will be brought as a means of conveyance for you to cross over that pole sirat. Now one alim put it very beautifully, he said that when it comes to our vehicles in this world, our means of conveyance in this world, then every man is very particular, especially when he's buying his car or when he's choosing his car. You'll never find an individual making the statement and saying that, listen, you go choose for me whatever you want, I'll be happy with. You go choose my car, you buy it, it's fine, I don't have a problem with it. Nobody will ever do that. When it comes to our conveyance in this world, every man is absolutely particular, especially when a man is ordering a new car. He must make sure it's according to his spec and his standard. So even if he wants a special color, he'll be prepared to wait. And he'll say, no, it's fine, I'll wait for this color to come. I want this color, I want this spec, I want that style, I want this engine, this is how I want my car to be. So we're so particular, we'll make sure we cross every T and dot every I for that vehicle. We'll never say that, no, let someone else choose it on my behalf. So we're so particular when it comes to the conveyance of this worldly life, which will take us from point A to point B. But what about that conveyance which is going to carry us over the bridge of Jahannam, over the pool Sirat, which is more commonly known? How particular we are about that conveyance. But unfortunately, at the same time, let's be honest, how lax we are with that conveyance. That we say, no, you go choose my sheep, it's alright, whatever you choose, I'll be happy with, no problem. Sometimes we choose to send it abroad, we're not saying there's anything wrong with it, but let us think. When it comes to our conveyance in this world, how particular we are. When it comes to things in this world, how particular we are. But when it comes to those things which will benefit us so tremendously, but not in this world, in the year after. But even in this world, Allah says, for every hair on the body of that animal, you will get one good deed. How particular we are about those investments. How particular we are about that conveyance. These are questions that we need to ask ourselves. That this wonderful sunnah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, this shi'ar of our deen, this thing which is so part and plays an integral part of our deen. It's a symbol of Islam, it's a symbol of Muslims. This is such an important thing, which unfortunately today we seem to be losing the culture slowly. People are so content with someone else doing the job. But when it comes to our own things, we're so particular that we must do it. Nobody else must be there. I must be there all the way. I must do it myself. I have to be there. Even if a person is building his house, even though he contracts it to someone else, he won't be content. He'll be there. He needs to see what's happening. So this is the same attitude that we should have for our deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and for this wonderful sunnah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Because there's so much for us in it. There's so much of benefit that Allah is giving to us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to always appreciate this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to uphold this great symbol of our deen, and to carry it out in the best possible manner. Imagine Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained perfection with regards to everything. The life of a Muslim needs to be perfect in every manner. So like how we like perfection in every aspect of our life, this is part and parcel of your deen. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسَنُوا الذِّبْحِ. When you slaughter, then carry it out in the most perfect and beautiful manner. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. And likewise, every aspect of our life needs to be systematic and needs to be perfect. That is what our deen teaches us. So it's not that a Muslim is someone who's haphazard and someone who has no system in his life. Rather, a Muslim is calculated and he has perfection in every part of his life and in every facet of his life. So especially with regards to Qurbani, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that do it in the most perfect manner. Sharpen your blade before you slaughter that animal. There are so many sunnats and there are so many things that we are taught just with regards to the way we treat that animal and to the way we and in the manner in which we slaughter that animal. Guidelines have been given to us across the board in every aspect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability just to briefly go through the procedure of us slaughtering these animals, and we should slaughter it ourselves. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, فَطِيبُوا بِهَا نَفْسَ. Do this qurbani with a happy and a proud heart. Do it in the best possible manner. Do it with a good feeling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be confident of the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep for you. Let it not be that we lose it where we make someone else do the job. Oh, it becomes something so simple where we just deposit money and finish our qurbani is done. Where's the qurbani in that? In fact, we have taken out all the qurbani from qurbani. All the sacrifice we don't want. Now we need to be very, you know, what they say, professional. We don't need to get our hands dirty. Just at the click of a button, job is done. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to get missed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to get involved. That is why if we look at the 10 days of Zulhijjah, the mustahab is that a person keeps himself what we would normally term as unkept. You're not allowed to cut your fingernails. You're not allowed to trim the hair on your body or on your face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes likes to see a man in this condition. Because why are you doing it? You're doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're doing it to imitate those hujjaj, those people who are on the plains of Mina and Arafat. So inshallah, by means of you imitating them, one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give you the opportunity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the opportunity of going for Hajj. And may Allah grant us the opportunity of time and time visiting the holy lands. So this was just briefly to give us some intro into these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Inshallah, as time goes, we'll definitely be hearing more and more about the day of Eid al-Adha, and most of us are well aware with regards to all the aspects of Eid. But just to refresh our memories, and then also we have another Friday coming where definitely more will be spoken about this. But our topic for today, inshallah, is the great ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us with regards to our means of communication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as insan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with various means of communication. So we look at something, we understand it, we speak, people can understand what we say, we are able to communicate with one another. But all these ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that every man is accountable for it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. That your sight, your hearing, your heart, your ability to understand things, your ability to work out things, all these things will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question each individual. Now when it comes to our means of communication, since we live in the age of technology, we are specifically today speaking about the means of communication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the form of technology. So we have BlackBerry, we have iPhone, we have WhatsApp, we have various means of communicating with one another, and also we have email. So today you don't have to physically be speaking to the person face to face. All you can do is type out a message and BB it to him, or you can send it via WhatsApp, or you can send him an email. So these are the means of communication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. But every ni'mah that Allah blesses a man with, he can either do one of two things. He can use it in the way that Allah wants him to use it. He can use it to benefit him, or that same ni'mah can be a means of destruction for him, and he can use it contrary to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a man with a ni'mah, Allah loves to see that that ni'mah be utilized in the manner that he wants it to be utilized. A simple example for us as insan to understand: if you have to see a man on a daily basis walking from his home to work, you see the man walking, if it's 40 degrees heat, you see him walking in the pouring rain, and the man doesn't have a car to go from point A to point B, and you look at this man's condition, and you as a human being, you feel compassion and you feel mercy on him, and you say that, look at this man, he's walking in this difficult condition, let me assist him in some way, let me help him, let me buy him a car, at least he won't have to walk in the heat, he won't have to get wet in the rain, let me make his life easy. And you take the pain upon yourself and you purchase a vehicle and you go to this man and you present it to him and you tell him, brother, look, I'm watching you for so many months walking on this pathway, take this vehicle, use it, it will benefit you. So at least now you will reach home faster, you will reach work faster, you won't have to boil in the sun, you won't have to get wet in the rain, it will make your life easy. Now how happy this man will be. We can imagine how ecstatic he'll be. He'll tell you, thank you so much, how can I ever repay you? And you know, I can never repay you for this good that you have done to me. And I'm prepared to do anything for you and thank you. And he will shower you with praise. He'll put you above the heavens with his words of praise. But if that man now takes that vehicle and he keeps it in an absolutely filthy condition, he takes it and he bangs every corner of it, and the car from being in a very good condition now is in a pathetic condition. Every time you look at it, something is going wrong. The windows are falling down, the doors are smashed, the doors are broken. But yet every time the man is passing you on the road, he's opening the broken window and he's telling you, how can I thank you, brother? I mean, see how you helped me. I'll never forget what you did for me. So you listen to the man's praise once, you listen to his praise the second time, but definitely there'll come a time where you'll tell the man, listen, stop thanking me. How about taking care of the car? Look at what a pathetic and disgusting condition it is. So we as simple insan, whereas in reality it's impossible for us to help ourselves, let alone help anyone else, because everything happens with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't bat an eyelid without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the actual reality is, we are unable to help ourselves. It's Allah that gives you the ability to help yourself and to help someone else. That's another thing we need to understand. When we render assistance to someone, let us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us the opportunity to do so, because in reality we can't really help ourselves. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands any part of our body to stop moving, it's impossible for us to move it. So by us being unable to help ourselves, Allah gives us the ability to help someone else. And after you have helped someone else, you will still feel that, what is wrong with this man? On the one hand, he's praising me, but look how ungrateful he is for the ni'mah that I have given him. Now let's think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with so many ni'mats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with all our faculties of understanding, our ability to see, our ability to hear, our ability to understand things. How are we utilizing these ni'mats? So no matter how much we can say, oh Allah, we thank you for all the ni'mats that you have granted us, but think about the example of this car. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at us thanking Him, but then Allah is looking at us utilize these ni'mats in a wrong way, in a manner that's displeasing to Him. So are we truly grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we are not utilizing the ni'mats the way that He wanted us to use it? Now especially with the means of technology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put at our disposal to benefit us, there's gross negligence with regards to these means of communication. So today anybody gets anything on his phone, the first thing he does is he copies and pastes and he sends it to everybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a command in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Do not utter anything with regards to which you do not have sufficient knowledge of. You must have sufficient knowledge of something before you pass it on to the next man. Now today on the one hand we have these various wazifas and long things that we need to recite that are being spread about, especially on this BlackBerry and these means of communication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and then they tell you, if you don't pass it on, something is going to happen to you. If you don't do this, that's going to happen to you. Up until now, absolutely nothing has happened to anybody. So these are all hoaxes, these are all gimmicks. We don't know where people come up with these things, but we get a bit worried, we look at it. You must copy it and send it to everybody and see what will happen. Nothing happens, nothing will happen. So let us be very, very careful. In fact, sometimes hadiths of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam are being mentioned, but we don't know the authenticity of these hadiths. Where are they coming from? What is the source? So let us try and implement a simple thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a command in the Quran, and Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. If any information or any news reaches you, it's your duty as a Muslim for you to verify that information. That's a must that you have to do. So a simple thing, anything that comes to you, just send a message back asking the person that, tell me, what is the source of this? Where have you got it from? You know, there was one message that was flying around that, listen, you must do this, read this and do certain things, a whole list of things are given, and one person ignored it. In that week his mother passed away. Me, I love my parents too much, I don't want nothing to have my parents, that's why I'm sending it to you, and you make sure you send it to everybody else, all your contacts. Now where do people get these things from? This is a ni'mah that Allah has given us, but it's been abused. On the one hand we have that, on the other hand, the most famous thing, and that's not really part of our discussion, but we have to bring it in. We know what the youngsters are doing on these chats, how busy they are, because it's a free means of communication. And insan sometimes, no matter how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with, but that natural greed in insan, anything for free, he loves it. So he'll make the best use of it. Why? Because it's for free. So he'll send messages even when he doesn't need to send. Even the woman folk, there's so much being spoken which does not need to be spoken. Like how every word that we utter from our lips, we will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Similarly, every word that we type, or every sentence that we type up, that we type on these means of communication, we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. It's not something that we just typed and we sent and finished, that's the know all and be all of it. We might have deleted it in this world, but it's not deleted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's definitely recorded. Our speech is recorded, our typing is also recorded. We think it's deleted on the chat, it's not deleted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a full record of it. Are we really prepared to answer for every bit of communication that we indulge in? Can we really answer for it? That's why many a times, if you look at the people of the past, we had certain individuals who led their lives in such a manner that at the end of the day, they would sit and take stock and say, and look at how much they had spoken in that day. What speech was necessary and what was not necessary. And then they would chastise themselves and they would take a proper introspect within themselves and ask themselves the question that tomorrow I need to better myself. So if I spoke something unnecessary today, I must make sure I don't do it tomorrow. Because every word that I speak, I am answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Now you have people the whole day, they sit in with their phones in front of them and they're busy in their own world. It's the oblivious of everything around them. Even sometimes people while they're driving, they're busy. So they're not worried about what's happening live around them. They are busy in their own world. They are cocooned in their own world. Now are you really prepared to answer for everything that you are communicating? Are you really prepared to answer? Can we answer for it? Or is it most of the time unnecessary speech which we will be taken to task for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it's good speech, if it's constructive things, because now it has become also a very big business tool, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone barakah and save them also from the gimmicks and from being conned in many ways which are possible. But those people that are using it as a business tool, very good. You are using the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. May Allah bless you more. So we're not talking about that. But we are speaking about that unnecessary chat that we are involved in, and also about the wrong information being passed on. It's very, very dangerous. When we look at that verse in the Quran, in the 26th juz in Surah Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this command to insan that, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in ja'akum fasikum binaba'in fatabayyanu, that, O you who believe, if any sinner brings any information to you or any news reaches you, it's your duty to verify that information. And tusibu qawman bijahalatin fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. Allah addresses Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly, saying that you need to verify information lest you harm any nation unknown, and then you will regret over your actions. Let us look at the background of this verse of the Quran. There was a tribe that had come into Islam, but he stayed a distance away from Medina. At the same time, there was one Sahabi, prior to him becoming a Muslim, he had some altercation and some problem with this particular tribe. And the matter was unresolved. In the process, this tribe ended up becoming Muslims. This man ended up accepting Islam. He became a companion of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the problem that they had experienced prior to Islam was left unresolved. So now, unbeknownst to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was now the time for this tribe's zakat to be collected. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam randomly selected this particular individual and he told him that, listen, go to this tribe on behalf of me and collect their zakat and come back to me. They have their zakat ready, go and collect it and bring it to me. So this man, he did not want to disclose to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, listen, I had a problem with these people. He had to follow the command of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he accepts the command and he sets out to this tribe. Now this tribe, they get information that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sending someone to collect our zakah. So we need to honor this man. This is the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We need to be good to him. Let's go out of the town and let us be well prepared to welcome him and to honor him, because this man is coming on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have to honor him. Now here is a lesson for us, that if any man ever comes to us with the message of deen and the message of Islam, so he comes to you not to ask you for your money, not to benefit you anyway in this worldly life, but he comes to you to remind you of your deen. He's coming to you on behalf of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's coming to you with regards to your deen. You should honor this man like how this tribe was ready to honor the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's a lesson for every one of us. So to honor him, they all come out of the town, they stand on either side of the road, they're ready to welcome him and lay out what we would say the red carpet for him. Now this man, as he's coming on the way, the only thing playing on his mind is, hey, you know what, I had a problem with these people, we never solved the issue. I'm going all alone in their territory, I'm going into the lion's den, what's going to happen to me? Now Shaitan keeps playing, putting thoughts in his mind, and it keeps playing up in his mind, and now Shaitan puts the thought in his mind that, listen, this is a wonderful opportunity, these people are now going to catch you, they're going to take full retribution for the problem that took place between you all, and these people are going to kill you. So he put that fear in this man's heart. Now this man is extremely worried, he doesn't know what to do, but as he approaches and he comes closer to the town, he sees everybody outside standing on either side of the road. So now he becomes more convinced that, listen, they're waiting for me. Now they're standing outside. That means the moment I come there, I got no chance. I don't know what's going to happen to me. So immediately he decides that, listen, this is very, very dangerous for me. He takes a U-turn and he heads back towards Madinah Munawwara. Now these people, from a distance, they saw the man coming. They became more excited that the man is coming closer to us. Let's get ready. Suddenly they see him take a U-turn and go back. Now they become extremely worried that what has happened. Allah forbid, has Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam become cross with us? Has Allah become angry with us? Why the man turned away? But now this man, he goes back to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he makes up a story. And he says that, oh Nabi of Allah, I went there, those people refused to give me zakat, they wanted to kill me, they wanted to harm me, I took my life and I ran away. But they never give me anything. Now in an Islamic state, if a tribe or if a people or if a person refuses to pay his zakah or refuses to perform his salah, he refuses one of the injunctions or the faraiz of deen, you are at liberty to wage war with this individual or with this tribe or with these people. This is how Islamic states work. A man can't refuse to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made faraz upon him if he's a Muslim. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes extremely worried that what happened here, these people were ready, but now if they don't want to pay, we have to wage war against them. So in the interim, he sends another sahabi to investigate that what's happening. So at the same time, he's preparing an army to go and face them, but just to check now what happened, something is not right. Now these people from their side, they are extremely worried. They send someone from their side to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask what has happened. Is Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cross with us? Why the man turned away? So in the interim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends someone to them. They send someone to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And eventually, to cut the long story short, the truth comes out and this man confesses and he says that, oh Nabi of Allah, I made up the story, it's my fault, I'm sorry, but this is what happened prior to me becoming a Muslim, and I thought these people are going to kill me, so that's why I did this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed these verses of the Quran that, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, aw you who believe, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu, if any sinner comes with any information to you, then it's your duty to verify that information. Is it true or is it not true? An tusibu qawman bijahala, lest you harm any nation unknowingly. Now what if Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had waged war against these innocent Muslims for no reason? Fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin, then you would have regretted your actions. Now here, an important point to take note of, Allah uses the word fasiq, that if a sinner brings any information to you. Now today we live in such a society that the man who has all the news, he's the man to be respected. You want to know anything, ask him, he knows all the information. He knows what's happening in everyone's life. So he's the man to ask. And people throng around him and they're happy to hear what he got to say. What happened there? Tell us, fill me in. I wasn't there. I don't know. Sometimes even the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was established to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to glorify the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens outside? That you catch up on the day's news, the happenings of the town. How we have mixed up things. How we have upset the apple cart. That house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was to bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the moment you step out, you step in very far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today the man who has all the news, he's the man to be associated with. But here Allah, this is the man who really passes off information all the time as a sinner. Not only that, when we look at the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's sufficient for you to brand a man as a liar if he narrates everything that he hears. Because everything that you hear will not always be true. So if everything you hear, you're passing it over to someone else, at some point or the other, you're going to hit a miss. So you're going to end up lying even unintentionally. So let us be very, very careful that whenever we're passing over information, first ask ourselves, is this 100% true or not? Did it happen or didn't it happen? Let us do some investigation. We will be saved from many, many problems. You know, there was one lady, she was busy preparing supper for her husband. And he had told her earlier in the day that, listen, I'm going to be a bit late. I got extra work to do today. So I don't know exactly what time I'll be home. So she's busy getting the supper ready. And then she tells her son that, by phone your father, see where he is. Check what time he'll be coming home for supper. So he goes in another room and he dials the father's number. So a few moments later, he walks in the kitchen and he says, Mommy, I don't know what's wrong. I tried daddy's phone 3 or 4 times, and every time I dial his phone, a lady is answering his phone. Now the woman, she's busy cooking the food. She becomes extremely upset. She sends the food one side and she says, I knew it. That's what extra work he had. Every time he tells me he's coming home late from work, and how can he do this to me? And I'm going to sort your father out today. I had enough of this. I'm not listening to nothing. Pack your bag, son. We're going away. I'm going to teach your father a lesson today. Now the child, he's a bit confused. He doesn't know what's happening. Anyway, this lady, she's fuming and she's revving on all cylinders. She packs her bag. She comes outside the house and she's waiting now for her husband to come home. Now this man, he had a tough day. He had a heavy day at work. He comes tired. He drives into his driveway. And to his shock and amazement, he sees his wife standing outside with all her bags. His son is there. So he jumps off the car, absolutely confused. He says, my darling, what's happening? Why are you outside with all your bags? She says, don't talk to me, I don't want to see your face, how could you betray me? And she's going on and on. And this man is in absolute shock, he's tired, he's hungry. So he's telling her, what is wrong? Tell me, what's the problem? She says, no, I'm not going to waste my time telling you. I know you're going to lie. You're a liar. And you know, I sacrificed so much for you. I did so much for you. My father is on his way to pick me up. I don't want to see you anymore. And that's another problem we have today. Any small problem that happens, they say, don't worry, my father is on his way, he's coming to pick me up. So now this man is confused, he doesn't know what's happening. So he says, listen, just calm down, tell me what's the problem. She says, don't ask me, ask your son, you got no shame. He had to find out, he had to tell me. So I want to see if you're going to lie to your own son. Let me see what type of a man you are. Already I can't face you, I can't speak to you, but talk to him. So this man looks at his son, he says, bye, what's the problem? Why is mommy so upset? Why are you standing outside? So the son says, daddy, you know, mommy told me I must phone you and check what time you're coming home for supper. And every time I tried your phone, a lady answered your phone. Now the man, he becomes more shocked himself. He says, what? A lady answered my phone. So now the wife, she gives her input. She says, you see, you got no shame, you even lying to your own child. Why are you wasting your time lying? Now the man doesn't know what to do. He's confused. So he says, okay, hold on, son. Are you 100% sure a lady answered my phone? Boy says, yes, daddy. 3 times I tried, the lady answered. So the father says, okay, son, just tell me, when the lady answered my phone, what did she say? What did she tell you? So the son says, daddy, when the lady answered your phone, she said that a subscriber you have dialed is not available at the moment. Please try again later. Now, we're laughing at this story now and we're laughing at this situation, but put ourselves in the picture. How many times in life do we find ourselves in a similar sort of situation? Now, had the lady in the first place asked the son, that son, tell me what the lady said, there would have been no problem. Now, put yourself in her shoes. What's her position right now? Now she has to start apologizing. Now she's embarrassed. Now she doesn't know what to do. She has to say, make maaf. And Allah forbid, if the man is really not a chaste man, now it's a license for him to really do that wrong. Because now even if it's blatant and in front of her eyes, she'll not want to attempt to address the issue in case she's wrong again. So look at the problems that arise just by us not following the simple injunctions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. By the way, there's only a story. I don't know if it's really true or not, or if it took place or not. But there's lesson to be taken from it. Any information comes to us, pause for that moment to ask ourselves the question that let us investigate. By us just following these simple steps, so many problems will be avoided. We have so many social issues, we have so many problems at large. But if we really just follow the wonderful deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it's amazing how beautifully we can lead our lives in this world. It's amazing how many problems can be solved. Really, there's never a moment that should go past in our life that we should not appreciate the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us Muslims. When we look at the dua of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which should be recited on a daily basis, that Raditu billahi rabbi وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا, that I am pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Rabb, I am pleased with Islam as my deen, and I am pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my prophet. We can never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for the fact that He granted us our deen, He made us Muslims, and He granted us this beautiful way of life. But it's up to us to really appreciate it in the manner that we lead our lives the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.